gonna rattle the house. Well, it's time. We've had our turkey, we've been with family, we got the lights, we got the trees. May I officially say Merry Christmas. In fact, go ahead and turn to somebody next to you. I normally say whisper, but we're separated. So just shout Merry Christmas at somebody sitting around you. All right. If you're outside watching on the Jumbotron, was just out there and saw some of you, God bless you guys for being there. If you're in the gym or at Woodland Hills or at Agua Dulce, or if you're watching online, we're thankful that you're joining us as we have finished up one series and are about to go into another. Next week, we'll begin our Christmas series called It's a Wrap. Now, I think Pastor Dudley picked the best title of all because I am ready to say to 2020, it's a wrap. We are ready to move on to next year. But we're going to talk about the way God moves us from one thing to another. Pastor Dudley will give the first sermon in that series next week. I'll get to give the one the week after, and we'll head right on through to our wonderful Christmas Eve celebration. It'll be a little different this year, but it's going to be fantastic. Now, I would love to just launch right in because I've got the in-between. We finished Nehemiah last week, and then we're starting into It's a Wrap at Christmas next week. But I just was convicted by Thanksgiving this year. Thanksgiving was different this year. Can I get an oh yeah from you? You know, normally we'd have 10, 12, 15, 20 people at the house. I don't know what it was like at your place. At my place, it was myself, my wife, and Jesus. That was it. It was just the three of us there. And it was just different. And so it caused me to stop and think a little bit about what's going on. The Thanksgiving is not about the turkey or the dressing. We didn't have either one on Thanksgiving Day. We'd talked about it, and Catherine said, "Well, make a whole turkey for you and I." And I said, "Well, don't they have like a turkette or something?" And she said, "No." So we talked about it, and I went and got Chinese food. And so we had Kung Pao turkey, and I loved it, enjoyed it, but it was just, you know, it's just different, right? That's the thing for this whole year. This whole year has been different. Hello. But we got to talking about Thanksgiving. And I got to thinking about the fact that our nation was willing to say, we need to stop and look up. That's a good thing to do. In fact, more than that, it is a biblical mark of believers. But to be fair, it wasn't Abraham Lincoln who came up with the idea of Thanksgiving, nor even George Washington. There was a woman who was pioneering for this thing. She's the same lady who wrote one of the most famous poems of all time. You know it. It starts like this. I'm not joking. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was, yeah. Do you know that you're quoting the words of Sarah Josepha Hale, who lived before the Civil War, who was a journalist and an editor of a book, or rather a magazine. The most popular magazine of its day was called Godey's Ladies' Book, kind of an early ladies' home journal. She was the one who pushed that all brides should wear white as a symbol of their purity before the Lord. She pushed Christmas trees ought to be in every household to honor Jesus. And she started a campaign that our country needs to stop altogether. Some states were having it, but she says we need to have a national holiday where we all look up and say, thank you, Lord. And I'm here today to say thank you, Sarah Josepha Hale, for convincing Abraham Lincoln to sign this document, the proclamation, that ended up finally in 1863 being a national holiday. Now, we celebrate a lot of things in our country, appropriately. We celebrate the death of veterans. We celebrate the 4th of July. And praise God, we celebrate Christmas. But celebrating Thanksgiving may be the most important choice when it comes to letting the world see who we are and what we believe. Because when you celebrate, when you give thanks, it means you recognize there is somebody bigger than you. Can I get a oh yeah from you on that? Go ahead and take the little outlines out that you've been handed and mark this down. Mark down number one. Thankfulness is a long-standing mark of faith in someone much greater than ourselves. That's why 2,000 years ago, nearly, Paul wrote these words in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray continually, and then read it with me. Give thanks in circumstances. Yeah, just write COVID right there. Give thanks in all circumstances, but look at the rest of it. For this is what? Excuse me? This is God's will for you. Give thanks because this is what God wants you to do in Christ Jesus. Now, admittedly, this season we can say, well, what have I got to give thanks for? Listen again to this statement. It is God's will that you give thanks in Christ Jesus. As the two young ladies, the two sisters, who did such a beautiful job with our communion meditation and welcoming us today, I just thought that was so sweet. When she said, no pandemic can stop this. And no pandemic should stop us from giving thanks in Christ Jesus. Amen. Yeah, we sit around our Thanksgiving table, and my wife and I, what are you thankful for, honey? You know, we always do this. Well, normally there's a bunch of people, but it's just me and her. Well, what are you thankful for? Well, I'm thankful for food, thankful for our home, thankful for our health. But pretty quickly, you run out of a short list when you're stuck there at home. I'm thankful for Netflix. Well, some of the shows on Netflix. But you know what I'm really thankful for? I'm thankful that I have a God who loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son that we would have eternal life. I'm thankful for forgiveness. I'm thankful for his grace. I'm thankful for heaven. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for the love of a father who will never, ever leave me. And the list goes on and on and on once a year. What's wrong with that picture? You see, go ahead and mark down number two. Even believers can forget this important act in moments of relief or rescue, in moments when you're, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And then God saves you and you're like, oh, and boom, you're on out the door. Kind of like the miracle that Jesus did when he healed 10 lepers. And Luke writes about the miracle. And what we remember is not that the lepers were healed, but anybody remember out of 10 lepers, this was a disease that marked you spiritually from not being able even to be with your community if you're Jewish. It marked you from a standpoint of literally marring your body. And boy, it was terminal. There was no way of getting out of leprosy. But out of 10 men who were healed, how many came back and said, thank you? Yeah, listen to the text. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. Praising God in a what? Excuse me, in a what? A loud voice. He wanted everybody to know, and he wanted everybody to know that it wasn't something he had done. On the way to services yesterday, I was listening to a program on climate change and some of the dangers and the difficulties. And, you know, some of you have little grandkids. You think, man, what's the world going to be like in future years? But I listened to the people talking about it, and they were saying, this is what we've got to do. We've got to do. Thanksgiving ought to be a day when we realize if anything good is happening about us, don't look around, look up. And if you want to impact climate change, if you want to impact world peace, if you want to impact things in our country, let's begin by saying, God, thank you that you are there because you're the one we need. You're the one that we're... I mean, I'm grateful for scientists and for doctors and for chemists who are working on a vaccine, but you're the great physician, Lord. We ask you, we cry out to you, and what should be the first thing I do when I get my vaccine? Thank you, God. And yet, like the lepers, I find out how easy it is to forget that. Whether it's as simple as the light turns green, hooray, or there's no line at Chick-fil-A, now there's a miracle, right? Wow, I got in and out so quickly out of the Walmart. Every good gift comes down from the Father above. And the reason we are called on, in fact, commanded to give thanks, is that's how the world is going to stop and begin to say, what did you say? Man, I am so thankful to God. I am so thankful to Christ. I am so thankful for,
And then you get to tell your story. In fact, today, I want to bring up a panel of Thanksgiving experts, of people who've been through some difficult times, but they have the ability and have chosen to give thanks. To set the stage, I need to take you to a hymn. Well, it's actually a psalm from the book of Psalms. If you have your Bibles, they used to have big black things like this. Go ahead and get them out. Otherwise, your iPhone or your Android or whatever you want to use. And I want you to turn over to Psalm 107. You know, my mom drummed Thanksgiving into it. Now, be sure and say thank you. Are you going to say thank you? Say thank you. She would have loved Sarah Josepha Hale because whatever happened. Now, did you remember to say thank you to Grandma for the meal? Did you remember to say thank you to Uncle Sam for letting us come and visit? An ancient song from Israel's hymnal can teach us that there is a rhythm to thankfulness. It's not just something you do once a year, but it's something I need to be doing every day, every moment, in all things. Everybody say, give thanks. And that's your line this morning, so let's give it with gusto. In all things. Oh, come on. In all things. Like the leper who cried out in a loud voice, God calls on us. Well, here, let's get to the text. Here we go. Give thanks to the Lord, Psalm 107, verse 1. Why? What's the next statement? Excuse me? For he, not me, not me is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Each one of these four have a story they need to tell. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hands of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. Wherever you are, you have a story. And God says, here's the command, give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Now, some would say, Jeff, this is a tough time to be calling on me to smile and give thanks. Because I'm in trouble financially, or I'm challenged physically, or we're separated from our family. I've got a loved one in the hospital. I can't even go see my grandma in the rest home. And this is a day to say, give thanks? Maybe that's why the psalmist brings these four people onto stage. Because of COVID, I can't physically bring folks up here, and these folks are dead anyway. So we're just going to let these chairs represent these four groups of people in Psalm 107. Let me show you the first group. It begins in verse 4. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Who's he talking about? This first chair is for the wanderers. Not just wanderers who are out hiking someplace, but they have gotten lost. I was trying to think of an image for this, and I had to think of the TV show. My wife and I got hooked into it. Some of you did too. Anybody recognize these faces from a TV show a few years back? Mm-hmm. That's the gang from Lost. Now, remember that on the TV show, they didn't do anything. I mean, they were just on this plane, and it crashed, and it wasn't their fault. Have you ever gotten lost? I mean, on a freeway, right? Or been someplace, going someplace, and you were depending on your phone, and it ran out of battery. And you're like, I don't know what to do, you know? I literally don't know how to get there. This is the only way I knew how to get there. I tried to think of a time in my life when I felt so lost, not knowing where to turn. And you know what's weird? I didn't think about a time when I was lost. I thought about a time when my son was lost. Well, actually, he was 4, and I lost him. I'm not kidding. We were at Disneyland, in Fantasyland, and we'd ridden a ride, and I said, oh, the carousel. He looked up, oh, yeah, and I said, let's go ride the carousel. And we ran around. I ran around and got in line, because when I turned around, he was gone. Now, if you've ever lost a kid at a mall or a county fair or a theme park, you know what fills your gut. My first thought was, how will I tell his mother? Babe, I don't know. He was there and he wasn't. You talk about wrecking your day at Disneyland. Yeah, we lost our boy. All right, let's go ride pirates. It isn't going to happen.
As a father, I'm starting to run and look and run, and I'm running around the carousel all the way around it, and then I start yelling his name and panicking. I know that awful feeling in your gut when you think, I don't know where to turn. That's exactly what the people in this chair felt. It's not my fault. How did I get here?
But the Bible says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. I love that. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. For those who are wondering, I found Taylor. Well, actually, I didn't find him. Goofy found him. Or he found Goofy, because that's where he was. And I ran over, and I grabbed him, and I hugged him. And then I held him back and did what all parents do. You should have stayed with me. Don't you ever do that again. What should have been the first two words out of my mouth when I picked up my boy? You know the two words he needed to hear? Thank God. Thank you, Lord. That's the most powerful testimony my boy could have heard. That's the testimony we get to give. Because you see, in this same verse, listen to what the psalmist says. It says he led them to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. The psalmist says, don't forget this. Here's the rhythm we get out of. Oh my goodness, how'd I get here? Oh dear God, please. And then God redeems me and I'm like, woohoo, good, out of here, fine. He said, no, don't move. Don't take a step. Hold that boy in your arms and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And hope somebody listens and says, wow, that's right. Every time I've been lost and found, I need to say, thank you, Lord. You say, well, I don't really feel like that's me. Well, then maybe you're part of group two. Listen to the next group. Continue right on in the text. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because... ouch. They had rebelled against God's commands and despised, that's a hard word for hated, despised the plans of the Most High. Now, this is the chair for the wanderers. This is the chair for the wicked. What do you mean wicked, Jeff? When you choose to rebel, which means it wasn't, I just got lost. You knew it was wrong and you did it anyway. I tried to think of the face for the wicked. And when I was a kid, every year we'd watch the same show, The Wizard of Oz. And this was the face of the wicked, right? The Wicked Witch of the West, that's right. Oh, how wicked. And she wasn't stumbling, she knew it. And she was doing, I'll get you, my pretty. You remember that, right? And your little dog, too. Yeah, that was it. Your little dog, too. Oh, as a kid, I used to think, oh, what an awful person. Awful person. Somebody dump some water on her. Let's just, you know, take care of her. You know, here's what's interesting. Jesus died for the wicked. Jesus died for the people who do it on purpose. You say, really? Yeah. You're sitting next to one of them. Don't look. It'll make him nervous. Don't look at him. And you're looking at one of them. Right here. You say, Pastor, aren't you a Christian? Yes. And can I be wicked? Yes. In little ways, well, I'm kind of handicapped, sort of. My wife always tells me that. So I could park right here just for a minute and run inside and take care of it and come back out. Or in bigger ways, I know that I should be gracious, but instead what comes out of my mouth is complaint and vile and sometimes just plain rude to people I love. Or I found myself binging on shows I just shouldn't even be watching. Let's just call it what it is. It's wicked. And when you choose it, look what happens. The Bible says, so he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled. There was no one to help. Now, at this moment, Satan whispers in your ear, oh, you're such a bad person. There's no hope for you. And Jesus whispers in our ear, I'm right here. Just cry out. See, the rhythm is cry out to God, and then he will save you, and you can give thanks. And sure enough, the Bible says, and they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them. The wicked, yes. Jesus died for the wicked. He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness, the utter darkness. He broke away their chains. You see, the picture is they've been caught. They've been tried. They are in jail. They are booked, and they are ashamed. And yet Jesus says, don't you dare let anybody tell you, just because that is in your past, you have no future. Because Jesus is the redeemer of those who have fallen, who have failed, who have purposefully chosen it. And man, when those gates fly open, we're like, yes, oh yes, wait, don't take a step. Why not? You forgot to do something. What? Thank God. Thank God so that it can be seen and heard. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming and forgiving again and again this wicked man. Let them give thanks. You say, well, wandering and wicked, I don't know if that's really me. Well, let me look at you. Maybe you fit in chair number three then. You see what's coming next, right? Go ahead and read it with me. Some became fools. Do you know any fools? Don't point, ma'am, please. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. Now, understand, there's a difference between the wicked and the foolish. This chair is for the foolish. Foolish are people who just make stupid choices. You ever made a dumb choice? Some saying, I got him sitting next to me right now. No, come on now. Have you ever just made a choice that you went, what was I thinking? And the truth is, you weren't thinking. Now, the wicked see it. They know it's wrong, but man, do it anyway. But when we're in the foolish chair, we're just kind of... Okay, the actor's name was Jim Nabors. The TV show was about the Marines, and he played a private in the Marines named Gomer Pyle. If you haven't seen Gomer Pyle, you young ones are like, what? Go, you catch a little bit of this on YouTube. Shazam, Sergeant Carter, that's what he'd say. Because you need to know, Gomer was the kind of guy you would love. He was the sweetest, kindest, most dumb, bless his heart. And his foolishness would often lead him into problems, and he'd get shouted at by the sergeant. Well, the foolish guy here in the text, or gal, responds as we often do when we go, How did this happen? How did this happen? As a youth minister years ago, I sat with a couple who had gotten themselves into sin. High school students. She was pregnant. And the boy put his head in his hands and said, I don't know how this happened. Really? Yeah, yes, I think you do. But what you're really saying is, I don't know how I let this happen. And you feel foolish. And often, listen to their response. The wicked are chained up. Listen to the chains on the foolish. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. That's called clinical depression leading to thoughts of suicide. Loathed all food just means you're just so sick of everything. You don't even want to eat, and you think the only thing I should do is just die. And Satan whispers, the world would be better off without you. And that is a huge lie. It is a lie from hell, because the voice from heaven says, look up. I can't. Yes, you can. Look up. and cry out to the Lord in your trouble. Because it's no shock that the Bible says, and then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. And by the way, how did he do it? He had to break chains of iron there, not here. He sent out his what? This is the most beautiful text. He sent out his word, and it healed them. They didn't have to be broken out of the prison because they're not in the prison. They just needed somebody to whisper in their ear, hey, stupid, do you know God loves you anyway? Do you know he loves you so much that he let Jesus die for you? Do you realize right now, in your dumbness, God can't wait to hug you and say, let's start over, Gomer. Let's begin again, Bobo. Come on. Let's just get up and let Jesus Christ's blood wash over you. And let's give thanks, which is exactly what they do. The Bible says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. Let them sing out songs of joy. Oh, praise God from whom all blessings flow. The foolish are called on to declare their stupidity. To say out loud, let me tell you, I made some dumb choices. But praise God, he has seen me through. And all the folks who've ever been foolish said, oh yeah? Oh yeah, absolutely. And let us thank him. You say, Jeff, I don't know that I want anybody to know that. Of course you don't. We all want everybody to think, well, yes, I go to Shepherd Church. I'm a Christian. I'm a good person. We want them to see us and think, oh, I wish I was like them. No, you don't. What you want them to say is, wow, if God could save them, there's room for me in the kingdom. That's what we want them to say. That's how we want them to react. And in case they're wondering, just let them hear us. Oh, thank you, Lord, for walking me through such foolish choices I have made in my life, Father. Now, there's a possibility you're sitting out there saying, man, I don't feel like any of these. I mean, I feel like I kind of got it together. Well, welcome to chair number 4. Because we've had the wandering and the wicked and the foolish, and now it's time to get to the fearless. Those who think they've got it all together. Who think they're in control. Listen to this description. Verse 23. Some went out onto the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. Okay, I got to do this fast. Now listen, when he says they're merchants, he doesn't mean they're sailors. He means they're the owners. They own the ship. These are the CEOs. These are the executives. These are the VPs. These are the folks who are like, yes, I'm in charge. This is my company. This is my sailing ship. I'm heading out there to trade. So they're the captain. Remember the Russell Crowe movie, Master and Commander? I just remember shots of him like this one, where it's like, yes, that's what it is to be the captain of the ship. But you see, the captain of the ship has an illusion that he's really in charge. The ship is a small thing in a giant sea. And when the sea, well, here, let me let the psalmist describe it. For God, that is he, spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. And in their peril, their courage melted away. Who is that? The fearless all of a sudden went, how in the world did I get here? They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. I mean, it's the perfect description of the guy or gal who thinks that everything's going cool. And then 2020. You know what I mean, right? I've got this restaurant. I've got this company. I got this business. And all of a sudden, what happened? It's like, I'll tell this fast. My mom and I years ago were in a plane flying to Little Rock, and our plane was hit by lightning. It's a weird experience, but because you're not grounded, it actually doesn't destroy anything. This is what the stewardess told me, and I believed her, because there was a flash like God's light bulb right outside our window. And my mom and I both, whoa, and everybody in the plane went, and we waited. My mom grabbed my hand. And let me tell you, in that silence, I have no doubt, there were more prayers lifted up than in every church service all across the country. Because everybody on that plane was going, oh my God, 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 oh my God. And he's like, yes, 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 yes. And we prayed, oh dear God, you talk about crying out to the Lord in your trouble. Because the instant before the flash, I'd been looking through my notes about a speech I was going to give when we landed there, and I was thinking about a little restaurant, Little Rock, I really enjoy, and my mom and I were going to go to that restaurant, and all of a sudden, like the ship's captain, when the waves start pitching and water goes everywhere, and a guy who was, I've got this, becomes, oh no! Does this sound familiar to anyone this particular year? We thought we were in control, and we are not. So what do you do? Well, let's go to our panel of experts. They all did the same thing. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. I love the way he finishes this. Listen to how he describes it. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. And then here's the understatement of the century. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them go to the next screen if you would. Let them give. Yeah, by this point, I should have just had to do like this, brothers and sisters. So let's try this one more time. Let them give. Because for each of them, what do you do when you're wandering and you're rescued? Let them give. What do you do when you're wicked and you are forgiven? Let them give. What do you do when you're foolish and God speaks truth through your heart and you're revived? Let them. And what do you do when you're the captain and all of a sudden you're turned over? Let them. Does anybody miss the point this morning? Do we need to go over it one more time? Because my fear is there's more than 10 lepers in here. And I wonder how many of us will actually go out of here to give thanks. To give thanks, not just over your meal, but to give thanks where you can be heard at Walmart. To give thanks at the grocery store. Not just thank you to the one who's bagging the groceries, but man, thank God that he has seen us through. You see, giving thanks is evangelism. It is testimony. It is saying, I want everybody to know it's not about me. Because all of the problems in my life are not solved because of my grit or gumption or goodness. They are solved because of the good, great God in heaven. Let us give thanks. And it's not even a recommendation. It's a command. So finish your outlines by just writing this down. When in doubt, cry out. If you've never given your heart and life to Jesus this morning, it's cry out time. It's time for you to say, Jesus, please, I need you. If you've never been baptized into Christ between the services, we had a beautiful baptism. I wonder if today's the day you need to fill out one of those cards and take it back there to the information table and say, I need to talk to somebody about giving my life to Jesus. Whether you're the wandering or the wicked, whether you're the foolish or the fearless, it's not too late. This is your moment. But for the vast majority of us, how many redeemed folks we got in here who have given their heart and life to Jesus? As I say, if you won't raise your hand in here, you are toast out there. Raise it high. How many of us here? Then here's the gift and here's the command. Give thanks. Not just on Thanksgiving. I appreciate Sarah, Joseph, Hale, and my mom saying, well, now give thanks, give thanks. And I love the way that leper came crying at the top of his lungs. At Thanksgiving in our home when I was young, we had a bunch of folks over and we couldn't get everybody around the dinner table, so they'd set up a card table. You know who had to sit at the card table, right? The kids. It was the kids' table. And as a kid, you thought, one day I'll be old enough to go sit at the big table. And finally you were and you realize it's boring at the big table, let me tell you. But at Thanksgiving, everybody had their chair. So may I ask, which chair are you in today? Have you wandered away from your commitment?
Are you feeling fearless?
Which really means you're foolish. Well, wherever you are, I have the same two words for you. Give thanks. So why don't we finish that way? Why don't we decide we're going to go out as an army of thanksgivers? And we're going to go out looking up and pointing up. In fact, let's finish with a prayer of thankfulness together. Will you stand with me?
And I'm going to ask you not to give thanks small. I'm going to ask you not to give thanks, thank you, thank you. Remember when Mom would say, well, thank Grandma, thank her. You know, when Grandma gives you socks for Christmas and you're looking at it. Thank you, Grandma. Don't do that to God. Don't do that to you. Let's give Him thanks like you were singing and praising a few moments ago. Let's give Him thanks with saying, thank you, God, for, and whatever you want to put next to it. All right, are you ready? I'll start the prayer, and then I'll cue you. Because we're going to practice in here so we can do it out there. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we lift up our faces and we want to give thanks. Lord, we come not to ask a thing. You have been so good to us. Your love endures forever. Thank you for the psalmist. Thank you for these stories. Thank you for those who sat one day in these chairs. But Father, all of us in this auditorium and out standing and looking at the Jumbotron or in the gym or online, we want right now to stand and say to you, Lord, go ahead. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've given us. We praise your name. We thank you, God, for you are worthy. Thank you for family, and thank you for health, and thank you for life, and thank you for freedom, and thank you for our country, and thank you for Jesus, and thank you for the indwelling of your Spirit, and thank you for forgiveness, and thank you for heaven, and thank you for your promises, and thank you for the church, and thank you for doctors and nurses, and thank you for those who've loved us and taught us about Christ. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Father, may we now burst out of this building in thankfulness, and wherever we go, may it spring from our lips in a rhythm of thanksgiving over and over again until you come. And all God's people said in Jesus' name, amen.